All right, hello everyone, and welcome to Keep It Close to Me, a podcast about the things we love and, you know, life and stuff. I'm Chris, I'm your host, your podcast pal, and tonight, it is tonight when we are recording this, just for those of you that like to keep up with these kind of things, I record most of these at night. Tonight we are here to talk about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and just sort of the greater world of Harry Potter, and I have with me tonight the two people that I just went and saw Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them with, Sam and Ben.
Hi.
Hello.
Now, you guys may remember Sam and Ben from previous episodes. Sam and I talked about Captain America Civil War, and Sam and Ben and I individually in different episodes talked about Mortal Kombat Annihilation on I've Got to Beat Mortal Kombat Annihilation. So go back and listen to those episodes if you don't remember who they are. But how are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Yeah.
Excellent. We saw a really great movie, and Ben made us some lovely drinks.
Some potion drinks. Yeah.
Some potions to go along with Harry Potter.
Cheers.
So we're doing well.
And then everyone took a drink at the same time. Which is, you know, great for...
Hopefully they're imagining it.
Yeah. Imagine that we all took a drink. We're drinking these out of mason jars, and there's like...
It's a potion. There's a...
I feel like I should take... Yeah, and, there's leaves and just pieces various of things floating lemon. Around. Mm-hmm. It's really good, though, for adults. I think, right?
Ben's a potion maker.
Yeah, definitely not child-friendly.
It tastes like it could be child-friendly, though. Yeah. You could. It tastes like you could get some kids drunk with this.
It's what you feed to the baby when it's crying
too much. So, I don't even know, guys. I feel like it's been a while since I've done one of these.
Should we talk about who we are right now? We did that the last one.
We did do that the last one. Well, let me start off by saying that... you guys, thank you for inviting me to go to the movie. That was a lot of fun. I was not planning on seeing this movie.
I'm glad we changed your mind.
Yes, I'm glad too, because I really enjoyed it. First things first, guys. There's going to be spoilers in this. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, don't listen to this yet.
Watch it.
Yeah, pause and go. Just take this with you, you know, into the theater and listen to this preamble before the movie starts, and then pause it right when the movie starts, and then
play the rest of it in the car on the way home.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That completely derailed me, but just first things first, I really enjoyed the movie. Sam, this is your second time seeing it, so I assume
it was.
I assume you enjoyed it. Ben, what did you think?
It was my first time, and I was very impressed with it, and thoroughly entertained and captivated by the story and all the characters. So
yeah. Ben is also. Sam and I are both like looking at Ben as he talks, and I felt like I could feel you starting to sweat with nervousness just a little bit. The way your eyes were kind of darting about, you were like, please don't put me on the spot like this.
I am very much wishing that the podcast audience could have seen you when you said we were all looking at Ben. Chris took his hand up to his chin and just like ever so slightly tilted his head.
I do a lot of pantomime for the show. I do a lot of pantomime for the show that people never see. It's like, I think that somewhere, right. Maybe, I don't know why.
Eventually it'll be maybe a video podcast.
Yeah, maybe.
And then they can see how funny you are.
Yeah, how funny looking I am when I'm doing things that no one can see. There's on some episode just recently where I was doing something and someone else also was like, okay, he's acting that out even though you can't see it. I think that's actually on an episode that hasn't gone out yet, just one that I was working on editing. Any hoodles. So we all liked the movie. I would definitely, just to get this out of the way first, I think we would all recommend it to people.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're crazy about Harry Potter like me, or if you have never read any of the books or seen any of the movies, I think it stands alone as well. Yeah.
Ben, would you agree that people should go see it? Well, okay, so what I wanted to ask real quick, and Sam, I'm going to ask you second. But first, Ben, what is your history, or, you know, sort of what is your connection with Harry Potter?
I would say I'm sort of like a light faring fan. You know, like I'm mostly exposed to Harry Potter through more diehard fans that I'm friends with.
Through the diehard fan you're married to?
Yeah. Or like my brother had like the entire like six books on audio book, seven books, sorry. See, but right there, that's kind of like exemplifying my lack of knowledge.
Six, seven, same difference.
So like I listened to...
I didn't even notice
who's
that
the guy who reads the books. He's famous.
Yeah, the British guy.
The British
Stephen
guy.
Fry reads the British versions of the audiobooks.
Did you have the Stephen Fry version?
And someone else does the American version.
Yeah, it sounded British.
Yeah, he's the British guy.
So, well, so it's, yeah.
Did the guy who's reading yours, does he like sort of do the, sort of the do voices? The voices?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
That's Stephen Fry. It's the same guy who did the with the dolphins. The
Hitchhiker's Guide to the
Galaxy.
Yeah. Oh, I wish I could have him reading more books. Yeah. His voice is just so like warm and welcoming and, I mean, he's great just in general. I love stuff with him in general, but also like I've listened to several of the audiobooks that he did for Harry Potter, and it's just so charming listening to him like do all the little voices and stuff. And,
yeah, he's great.
I can't think of who does the American one, but
I think I have it in the other room. I could,
it's well, okay. Don't worry about
somebody
it.
Somebody will Google it. So, yeah. Whoever's listening, please Google that. And if you'll just email Chris and let him know.
Yeah.
But so I have limited book exposure through Stephen Fry and like just walking in the living room and having that going. And then sitting down and enjoying it and then like walking away. And then I've seen all the movies. And now I've seen this one.
Have you seen the movies multiple times?
Oh, many times. They're sort of just like a backdrop on our existence.
Are they playing
the TV? The TV is right here, right now, with Elf on it, but usually it's Harry Potter.
Most of the time, the TV is showing Harry Potter when it's not showing Gilmore Girls.
Right. One of the two, always.
Yeah, but, you know, it's, well, I won't talk about that for now. It was not about Gilmore Girls. It was going to be about Elf. And I was like, oh, that's another fun... Guys, also,
Elf
if this completely... if this, like, completely goes off the rails because we're all drinking, then just that will be fun in its own way. My kind of history with Harry Potter is just that, like, I read the first book... And then I read then I listened to several of them with the Stephen Fry. I would just listen to those while I was at work, and I was not even. I was like, I'm not even that into this, but it's like his voice has such a pleasant, calming effect when I was stuck in this office that just made me want to pull my hair out.
How are you not that into it?
Well, no, I mean, like, I just, you know, I've got a lot of, I was busy with worrying about comics.
Other fandoms.
Other thing. I had other things to worry about. Not that I, you know, disliked it. And I, you know, I went to, I remember one of the most miserable times in my life was going to the midnight premiere of the first Harry Potter movie.
Mm.
And it was in the winter, it was around Thanksgiving.
I was a child.
A literal baby. and I was, I don't know, when did the first one come out, the first movie?
I'm not sure, because my fandom
Like, I'm not sure because I didn't know how to tell time yet, or...
My fandom started after the third movie had come out.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I can tell my whole backstory, but no, I was not aware of the first one coming out. I was not a fan yet.
That's interesting. For some reason, I assumed you would have like already been there, like just as big a reader as you are. I assumed you would have been like, you would have been in on the books like early.
I was not in on the books on the ground floor.
No. Wow. All right.
They were a gift from my grandmother. She heard that they were
big. We should just go ahead and stop the podcast. Let me go get like a real fan that was there for
what? I started after the third movie, and then I read all of the books starting with the fourth. So I read the fourth through the end, and then I went back and read the first three.
Oh, okay. So you didn't read the first three books?
Actually, no. I read the fourth through the sixth, and then the seventh wasn't out yet.
So you
And
went
I went back.
Back
and read the first three, and then all of the other ones again, and then okay. The seventh when it came out. So I had to wait for the seventh, which was the only one I had to wait for, which was sad.
Man, I think of all those poor people who were having to wait
for each
book
one.
To book. Yeah.
Although the biggest, the most suspenseful wait though was between 6 and 7. So
to you.
Well, no, I think to everyone because the end of 6 was so dramatic with Dumbledore's death.
Spoilers.
That was spoiled so long ago. They have to know that.
This might be their first podcast they've ever listened to, and they've never seen a book or a movie before. And they're like, "Oh, Harry Potter. I've heard that's exciting." What I was gonna say though is, we went to the midnight premiere of the first movie, and I had not read the first book yet. I don't think. But it was just like.
Did you dress up?
No.
This was in 2001, by the way.
2001. Okay. So I was 67.
Which was a while after the first, the books had been out for a while before the first movie was made.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't make the movies first.
No, they didn't make the movie right. Like the first movie wasn't right after the first book.
No,
like,
they
I
had
think
to,
the first few books were out.
Yeah. It had to like establish itself as a big hit kind of thing that they were like, oh, we should sink a bunch of money into this, into making big expensive movies out of this.
But when they made the first few movies, even the third and the fourth, the seventh book wasn't out.
Yeah.
Which says a lot about why they left out some things from the first.
We'll get to all that.
Few movies that were.
You're spoiling future podcasts.
Okay.
my point was just, it was the most miserable I've ever been at the movies because the theater was absolutely jam-packed. There was like literally people just sitting, and I know this is not even allowed, it was a fire hazard. There were people sitting on the stairs.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like it should be allowed.
Well, it was.
Did you have a seat?
Were they just afraid that like the crowd would riot? Like if they didn't get to sit there?
I think people were maybe, but the thing was, it was jam packed. I had a seat, yes. It was like a whole group of us went because there were some of the people in the group were like already really big Harry Potter fans and they were like so excited for this coming out. And it's like, and they're like, oh, there's going to, as we've talked about before, you know, and I think even on the podcast, we have said this, that just anytime there's something that's like merits a midnight release, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll check that out.
It's fun. It's exciting.
And, you know, with it coming out and around holiday time, it's not like there's usually a lot of other stuff going on. And I was like, yeah, okay, kids movie, whatever. magic kids movie.
Kids movie.
Well, I mean, it's literally a bunch of kids. I mean, they were little babies in that first one.
Oh, they were so cute.
They were such darling little babies.
Little British babies.
But
we would have been in our 20s, whereas you would have been a teenager.
In 2001, I was a freshman in high school.
Okay. So, but the thing was, it was absolutely jam-packed, and it was really cold outside, but something had happened, and, like, the heater was broken on full blast.
Oh,
so
they were sweltering.
It was, like, the hottest, most miserable, and it felt like that movie was, like, 4 hours long.
Oh,
just
no.
It would never end.
It was such a bad first Harry experience.
Yes, but it did not keep me from going to, then when the midnight release for the second one happened,
okay.
I still went to that, and
much better experience. Sometimes.
Yes, yes. The third one, and I don't think there was, like, a midnight release for the fourth one that I remember. I don't know. And it starts getting hazy, and also all the movies kind of run together to me. But I have seen them all. But it was just absolutely miserable. Like, I could not wait for that movie to be over. And I was just like, I don't know. But I didn't, like, even in the midst of that, I didn't hate the movie or anything. I wasn't just like, I was like, this is not the movie's fault, but I wish that it would hurry up and be over. And then at some point, like, I read the first book, and I was like, oh, that was fun.
They're great.
Yeah, it was like a fun read, and I mean, and we've talked about this as well, and I don't want to get all into this because we'll talk about this another time. But so we could talk about Harry Potter stuff for forever. We could talk about Harry Potter stuff for like at least 7 or 8 more episodes of a podcast.
Yeah. I have enough to say about all of them.
So, but let's. Tonight, instead, let's focus on Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. We all enjoyed the movie, and Sam especially.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little nervous headed into the movie because as Harry Potter fans know, like, the canon ended, right? Like, the seventh book was over. And then, JK, she just won't stop. So,
well, why should she?
Right? There's been a lot else. There have been other releases, other, like, books, like, spinoffs that, you know, Fantastic Beasts is one of those. And then most recently there was The Cursed Child, which I read immediately, you know, it came out and I got it at midnight and read the whole thing. And spoiler alert again, but it was a really big letdown. Like, I really didn't like it at all.
Well, that's what I was going to, I kind of wanted to bring that up, was the fact that, you know, you were kind of like my go-to Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
And when, before something else we saw, I think, there was a trailer for Fantastic Beasts. It was like the first trailer for that. And I think I asked if you were like excited about it. And you were like, I don't think I'm going to see that.
I was like a hard no, because The Cursed Child had really spoiled me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I can't support JK continuing to like ruin the perfection of the first of the original series. So I was really nervous about it. I wasn't sure. I did not go to the midnight like release of it like I have with everything else, Harry.
Yeah.
I waited. I gave it a couple of days and I ended up going. Like, I couldn't.
You gave it a whole couple of days.
I gave it a whole couple of days and then I was like, okay, I guess I have to see what it's about. I can't judge it without seeing it. And I was pleasantly surprised.
Well, yeah. And for me, I was like, when I first kind of saw the thing, I was like, oh, I can take it or leave it. It didn't really give me much to go on. And I was like, this doesn't seem especially great to me. But then I was like, I was kind of like, oh, I'll see what Sam says about it. And when you were like, oh, no, I'm done with Harry Potter. I don't want any non-related to the main story, you know, Harry Potter stuff after that.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, if even Sam is not psyched about this, then, like, I definitely am not interested. But then when you said you went and saw it and it was really good, I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, well,
this is worthwhile.
I was like, was it good enough you would want to see it again? So I could go see it. And I tried to, you know, I tried to ask April if she wanted to come too. And she was just like, no, thank you. April's an interesting character. As I have said before, April is a real interesting character. Whom I like.
He likes her. That's
good. I like her. She's my favorite little character.
Great way to describe the wife.
Yeah, well, and I tell her all the time she's my favorite little character. Because she's an interesting little character. But she's like,
I think she would like Fantastic Beasts.
I think she would. I could see her getting restless during that movie. Not that I think she would dislike it, but I could just.
I think it was strong. I think it can stand on its own. And it only had, it had some ties to the original series that are interesting and that we'll talk about tonight. But they weren't, you know, they aren't sort of spoiling anything or trying to resolve anything from the original series the way Cursed Child did. And they aren't trying to, like, expand on the original series. It's, like, sort of very, very light ties. That make it interesting, but don't really change anything from the original
book. Yeah, it doesn't. It at most enhances your enjoyment of the previous stuff without. There wasn't anything to kind of take away from anything that you already previously enjoyed.
Exactly.
I realized pretty early into this movie. This had something that I didn't realize I was wanting from that world of Harry Potter, which was more of the world of Harry Potter. Instead of being so focused on just this school and like these...
Just Hogwarts.
Yeah, and just this like little group of friends and kind of what's going on with them. And really just basically this one kid.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, in fair... his name's...
His book.
Yeah, his name's in the title, so it's fine. But I that's kind of what I realized like very early, as soon as that opening sort of montage started when it was showing all the all the newspaper headlines and stuff of what was going on, and you're seeing all these things kind of going on
in the American headlines.
In the in the wizarding world, as they, you know, like as people, you know, that the thing at you know, Universal Studios or whatever is called the wizarding world.
Yes.
you know, that phrase. And I was like, oh, this is what I've always kind of been curious to see, was what's going on outside of just what's happening with this
kid?
Well,
yeah. I mean, ever since Goblet of Fire and you realize there are other wizarding schools,
yeah,
you start thinking, like, where are the Americans? Like, I want to know what the American wizarding
school
is like.
Well, I was just kind of like, the most interesting stuff to me was the things where I was going like, oh, yeah, what's just normal life like in this kind of crazy world,
mm-hmm.
when there's all these things? But at the same time, I was like, that's the kind of thing I want to see more of. Very early into once the movie's starting, I was like, oh, this is what I wanted to see more of. But then it also hit a point in the movie where they were giving us so much of, look at all the wonder and whimsy and magic, where I was going like, all right, I'm borderline whimsy overdose here.
Hold on. Whimsy overdose?
Yeah, like there's a part where they were really like just showering and look at all the wonderful magicness of everything when
which part was this?
This was when not literally showering, even though there was
a scene
of a guy literally showering
toward the end. Okay.
A person who I've probably like
a muggle, the person
I least wanted to see showering. There's a part where, real quick, explain the plot of this movie, Ben.
The plot of this movie? Okay. So it's Harry Potter, but we're going to change it up. We're going to have Newsies. New York in the 20s.
So, like, Harry Potter.
Yeah. Like, that's the
okay,
plot.
Okay, let me jump in here.
No. I want Ben to do it first, and then you can...
He was done. That was it.
Plus Jumanji. Let's, like, get Jumanji, Newsies,
right?
Harry Potter.
Right?
That's smash it all. Accurate.
Smash it all together.
Yeah.
And you have a blockbuster hit. Ba-dam. On to the next movie.
So the real setup, though...
Well, okay. So, and also, it was funny. The first thing I asked... the first thing I wanted to ask, like, right as the movie started, I wanted to ask you, but I didn't. I was like, I'm just going to see how it goes. I was like... I had a moment of panic where I was like, am I going to understand this movie at all? Thankfully, I totally did.
You don't have to have any background knowledge.
The story was like strong enough all on its own to where then, like, as soon as it was over, the first thing I did ask you was, are there going to be more of these?
Yes. And the answer to that is yes. Yeah.
It's like, there better be. to completely.
It ends with, like, the we've caught this villain person.
Yeah. And it's now more what? That it ends. I was like, okay, literally, I was like, if this baker guy and that lady don't get together, I'm going to stand up
and... It was the love story that has you thinking.
I was like, I'm going to walk out of this theater, like, super pissed.
I was all sad when he walked out into the rain and, like,
right?
They were going to just erase his memory.
That was the point where when it was happening and I was like, and he's like, everybody's getting all teary-eyed and we're completely jumping to the end. We'll get back to the start of the...
Right,
we'll get
like,
back to...
Knew was even crying, like, his, like,
we'll get
Eddie
back
Redmayne
to-
with his, like... little ginger eyes were tearing up.
We'll get back to the plot of the movie. But at that point, I was like, that was when I had already decided, I was like, if stuff does not work out for this fat baker, I am going to be
emotionally invested.
So pissed at this movie. I was like, even having enjoyed all of the movie up until then, I was like, seriously? Are you guys really going to screw this?
Do you remember his name? Don't call him the fat baker.
Well, I'm telling that to people to be in case they haven't seen it.
No, they paused it. They're watching it now.
His name is Jacob Goldstein.
Oh,
no.
Good job.
Wait, is that his name? That's her last name.
Goldstein is the one who's doing the investigating.
Yeah. His name's Kowalski. Jacob Kowalski.
But Jacob is his first name.
Yes, Jacob Kowalski. Her name is Tina?
Tina.
Goldstein?
Yeah, because their sister calls her Teenie.
Teenie, and her name is Queenie.
Yeah.
Which I assume that's not her real name. It's like a nickname.
But that's all they call her.
Yeah, they don't call her. I was like, I thought maybe you would know, but
I've only seen the movie.
Oh, I was like, oh, that's right. There's no book. Yeah, there's no book to go by.
Right. In all the other movies, I know a lot more than you. In this one, we're going off the same information.
But you do know more about the stuff that's sort of tangentially connected to the.
Yeah. The few pieces that connect it to the series.
We'll get to all of that stuff.
Okay. Are we going back to the plot now?
Yes. Okay. So just real quick, try to summarize the plot.
Okay.
What the deal with the story of this movie is.
So the story begins with Newt, who is traveling from the UK to the United States with a case of magical creatures. He's coming to the US because he has a creature that's native to the US.
So he's a wizard is what you're saying.
Yeah, so he's a wizard. Yeah, sorry. So Newt Scamander, he's a wizard. He went to Hogwarts over there, same place Harry went, across the pond. And he was actually expelled from Hogwarts because of an
incident. I'm not sure this is germane to the plot.
Okay, so he's now a studier of magic creatures. He rescues them. He keeps them in his magic briefcase. And he studies them, and he's writing a book about them. But the whole premise of the movie is that he has come to the United States with a certain creature to set it free. It is a creature native to the west of the United States, specifically Arizona. Yeah, it's called a thunderbird, the animal, and he's gonna set it free in the States. But upon arriving, all sorts of crazy things happen with his case. His creatures get out.
Antics ensue. Hijinks ensue.
Yes, so many hijinks. And it's interesting because he becomes a scapegoat for what's going on in New York even before his arrival.
Which we see a little bit of that before he...
Before he gets there. Kind of at the same time. But there's a dark force wreaking havoc in New York.
Men in Black moment.
A little bit. And... Newt's arrival with a case full of creatures sort of becomes the perfect scapegoat for that. Like, oh, it must be the creatures causing these problems.
Well, and it does. Yeah,
but it turns out that it's not the creatures.
It doesn't help that that as soon as he shows up with them, he's like really, he's really got that kind of wizardy magic person thing of. Like, oh, I'm sort of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Luna Lovejoy.
Like that.
Lovegood.
That,
He's a little quirky.
Yeah. Quirky, yeah. To say the least.
He's not a Harry or a Hermione or a
But
Ron,
he's got the thing of like where he's worried about other stuff and like the sort of common sense, normal things are. Maybe he's like slipping by him where he's like, oh, maybe I shouldn't just be like walking around doing this.
Yeah, he's a little Arthur Weasley, you know, like a little Luna. Hagrid, a little
Luna. Totally Luna.
Yeah, he's a...
Brilliant, but aloof.
Yeah. It's like that Einstein thing of like, oh, he knows about all these kind of things, but his social interactions are not good. And like
he even says that himself. He says like, people don't like me. Like I annoy people.
Yeah, and he's got that thing of... some of the creatures get loose and then he's got to try to catch them and blah, blah, blah. He meets people and, everyone goes on a little journey. This sounds like I'm being dismissive, but the movie's really great. One of the things I did think sort of just about the movie as a whole was as we were watching it, even though the movie was pretty long, because it felt like it was definitely over 2 hours long. Which is fine, but the thing, as I was watching it, I was going like, this movie still feels like it has some things missing. I was like, I feel like there is a longer cut of this movie somewhere that I would enjoy watching that sort of fleshes some of this stuff out a little more.
Some more details.
Yeah, and just some things where I was going like, this seems like it to, where some character would, you would see something with someone and be like, okay, that's going to pay off later, and then it doesn't. And you're like, I bet there's a cut scene somewhere.
What example?
Well, for this is how I'll explain it. If there's a part in a movie where you could cut it out of the movie and it wouldn't make any difference.
Okay.
You go, well, why was that in there?
Which parts
and,
are you thinking of?
Well, hold on. And then, like, and usually it's like, if something like that happens, it's like, well, that scene was in there because originally we had another scene that sort of paid it off a little or just kind of gave
tied
you something
in.
To do with it. Yeah. And you go like, oh, okay, so that's why they left it in. And sometimes there's stuff where you go, oh, they left this in just because it's, or not left it in, but sometimes you're like, oh, they put that in just to kind of give the audience like a little, the one of the moments that, like, the first one that comes to my mind was when Queenie is trying to sneak out with the case. Everybody's hiding in the case. They're breaking out of whatever that place
essentially
is.
Essentially, like the Ministry of Magic, but in New York.
Yeah, so it's like...
It's like the Magical Congress.
The Department of Magic instead of the, instead of the Ministry.
Right.
But there's a part where she's trying to sneak out, and then she runs into this guy who's like the little... you know, like Weasley little boss guy who's like, and they do everything to make this guy be like the kind of character where you're just like, I know we're not supposed to like him. Or he's like,
he was Tina's boss in the beginning.
Yeah, he's like Tina's boss. And he's like, but he's short and he's just seems like.
Just Weasley.
Yeah, Weasley. It's like, but not Weasley.
Weasley.
But they have that little moment with him and it's like, oh no, is she going to get caught? But it's like, immediately it's like they have that little scene. It's like completely that there's like a moment of tension with them having this little scene where it's like, and, but it's immediately diffused because she just, you know,
she flirts,
flirts her way out of it real quick. And then he's just like, all right, well you get, and I was like, oh, this is something is going to happen with this where he's going to be like, I remember. Or, and also like another one was when they had, they made a point of doing that close-up on the bank manager's face after he got abracafrozen and
Petrificus Totalis. Yeah,
exactly.
Abracafrozen.
But he falls down, and I was like, the whole movie, I was like waiting for something to happen with that.
In neither of those cases did I think anything of either of those.
Well, okay. we watch movies differently.
Yes, you notice things I don't.
We've established that. Yeah, but also I think you notice things, or you know, we all experience things in our own way. But I, especially usually like when stuff happens, my brain is way more in that mode really early in the movie, and like because I'm not drawn into the story yet. It takes me a little bit to start going like, okay, just let's see where they're taking us. At first, I'm very much like, you know, my brain is like in overdrive, just like, okay, and this is, okay, how does this connect? But the fact that they did that close-up on him after he'd been, that thing you said.
Petrificus Totalis.
That he was saying, he said Kowalski, as if to say like, I remember that's who this is responsible for. And I was like, okay, something is going to happen where the cops are coming after him because this guy, the bank manager, there's been this, what seems like a robbery and something crazy has happened.
And the bank manager is going to blame.
And he's going to blame him, which is why then like Newt is going to have to come back and get involved with him and go like, all right, I'm sorry I messed all your life up. I'm sorry.
I think that the bank employees were just like obliterated. Like they
eventually,
yeah.
But I mean, we didn't know about that being a possibility yet when that happened.
Well, I mean, if you know the Harry Potter universe, we know. I mean, you remember from the movies that they like obliterated people in the movies, like made them forget.
I know what obliterated means, but I don't.
Right, Hermione did it. Remember in that diner scene?
No.
Okay.
no.
She says, like,
if only I had if only I had some kind of reason to rewatch all of the movies.
Oh, then that would be great.
To refamiliarize myself with
remember
those.
All of this. Yeah. Okay.
But it's like, even though pretty quickly they make a point of saying that, like, even right after that happens, it makes it clear that Newt is making it seem like he's about to, to do it to him. And I was like, oh, I knew that erasing memories was a thing.
Yeah.
But he just freezes him and doesn't do anything else. Then they just disappear. And I was like, shouldn't you take care of that? This is going to ruin this guy's life. That was like all I could think about. I was like, when is the other shoe going to drop?
Again, though, like Newt is pretty, like he's pretty irresponsible.
Yes.
He doesn't like
remember
to do the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why.
That's what I was trying to get at.
Which is why Tina shows up in the beginning and is like, I'm taking you in. Like you're breaking all kinds of rules. Like what do you, I mean, he came to New York and just like mess stuff up. Like, what was he thinking?
I liked how his suitcase had the little thing that to switch it to make it look like it's for...
Yeah, the muggle-friendly
button. The muggle-worthy button.
Yeah.
But it's like that it literally had that written on it, which is only for the audience because, like, you could, like... That's one of those things where it's just like, they would know. You don't need to put it on there.
I like that it said that. It's cute.
It is cute. And it's... I mean, that's... And
also, can we talk about the fact
that... muggles aren't called muggles.
Yeah, yeah. So the British call muggles muggles. And for all of our, you know, Wizarding World history, we've called them muggles. But then to find out here in the United States where we live, we aren't muggles. We're nomadges.
Where some of us live.
Yes, we're here in the United States. And
some of our listeners are not in the United States.
Okay, so the listeners over in the UK can keep saying muggles, but we all have to switch now to nomadges.
I don't care for that.
It's weird, right? It makes Americans seem not as smart.
Well, it seems really, like, unimaginative.
Right? Like, couldn't we come up with a better word?
You'd just think that people... That was kind of the thing,
not
yeah.
Non-imaginative.
The, like, all
non-imagined.
Of the...
Non-imaginative.
All of the, you know, for people that... Yeah, that was kind of the thing is, like, the... With the... In the Harry Potter stuff, with, like, the Ministry of Magic and everything, all of their... stuff, everything, definitely, even the people who are like the people in power and people in charge and of rules and mm-hmm. whatnot, they all still seemed real wizardy, real like robes and beards and like all that business, you know, and like.
And that's what wizardy is.
Well, yeah, when you think of a wizard, it's like, oh, like hat.
So you don't
robes
think the people in this movie seemed wizardy?
Or business.
Well, no, they, yeah, that's the thing is like, they seemed really
newsy.
Like. It was like they had taken all of, like, it was like it was saying the American version of the magic world was very, like, was way more mundane.
But it's also, I mean, it was also set in a different time period.
Yeah, but still, I imagine if you pop over to...
They're very earthy.
But, like, okay, but there's the scene where the international wizarding community has come together because they're freaked out about the breaking of the secrecy rule, and they're all there, and they all look all extravagant and stuff. Think about the president. She has that,
she had like
that
a head thing on, but like all of the fact that like all of the I'm not this is not like an insult, I'm just saying it was interesting to see that it's like, oh, it's this British person has written that the Americans have turned it into everybody wearing suits. Even though it's all still
Americans
magical.
Americans are more serious.
Yeah, it was like all way more like the rules that they and they even talk about that in the movie that there's like there's more
the
rules
are more strict.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's all this stuff and
the British wizards can marry muggles, they can be friends with muggles, but in the United States we're all like no muggle
we.
Relations.
Did you notice she said we? Do you feel like you're in like the fraternity of magic people?
Yeah.
You're sort of like your love for this world, you feel like
I have placed myself within it.
Yeah, you're like right? You have like a
I don't know if the we came from feeling like I'm part of the magical world or the we came from being American. I'm
okay.
Not sure where the we came from.
Okay. Fair enough. I mean, no wrong answers. And both things are fine. I mean, like, whether you do or you don't, either is fine. I was like, that's interesting. That, like, I do feel like you definitely feel like, and this is not just with you, but I mean, I feel like this is true of, and I think that's kind of part of the, no pun intended, magic of Harry Potter, is that it does, the people who really love... Do Harry Potter fans have, like, a name? Like, Trekkies or, you know, Trekkers with Star Trek? Is there, like, a...
Well, there's Potter,
Potties?
There's Pottermore, which is the website that they
yeah,
all
but that's not, like, what
follow.
You... You're not, like, all of us Pottermores. You're, like...
No.
All these hairy heads or... all of us Potterheads or...
I feel like that there may be listeners who are more into the fandom... than I am. I mean, I read the original books. I'm really into them. But I have not...
I feel
not,
like you...
I have not since followed the fandom. Like, I don't spend all of my time on Pottermore.
But you don't have to
waiting for JK's next tweet.
Yeah, but you don't have to. You don't have to be super, and you know, and this is part of why I like talking about this stuff. You know, it's kind of like the whole, you know, my whole like thinking behind the show is talking to people about these things that we love and that do mean stuff to us. And it's like you can really love something and be really invested in it, but you don't have to be completely endlessly wrapped up in the minutia of a thing to really love it.
Right.
I think that there's a lot of people that think, oh, I have memorized more trivia about a thing than someone else, so that means that I like it more than they do.
Right. And that's,
I don't think that's true. And I don't think that's true. I think
read the books dozens of times, so I guess that counts. I did dress up for a few movie premieres.
Yeah, but
and
I mean,
also you're a teacher and you love the Order of the Phoenix, like,
right?
And that connects on a very deep personal level, I think, for you. So
yeah,
yeah, I'm just supporting what Chris is saying. So you can be a huge patron of the story and the like.
Right. To get back to the question, though, I don't think there's a name for us.
Okay, good. I think. Oh. Let me just real quick jump back to this other thing about showering and whimsy.
Was the part that was so whimsical that it was almost too whimsical?
He goes down, he gets into his suitcase, which is why I was like, oh, we need to explain the plot before I just go, he gets into his suitcase. So
the suitcase that holds all the creatures.
Right. Newt's got this suitcase that's got all the beasts in it. And of course, it's all magical. It's not just a suitcase.
It's like Hermione's
bag. At first, I thought it was like literally going to be, oh, he's just got a couple little things in there. And then it was like, oh,
no, there's an extension charm on it for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then he like climbs down. He puts it on the floor and climbs down into it. And then we go down there into it with him. And it's like, oh, he's got a whole warehouse full of crazy shit. and it's like
it's and that's like a great zoo. It's like a zoo.
Yeah, he's got like a whole he's got like an apartment down there and like a whole sort of like magic zoo with
like different areas for different creatures. Yeah. It's and that's much all like here's the plains creatures over here.
That was all super cool.
Right.
I was like, oh, this is so neat. Like I'm like, oh, I'm enjoying all of this whimsy. I was like, this is really cool. But it's like And they were kind of showing things, and I liked that with some of the stuff you were seeing it, but as the camera's moving around with some of the stuff, there were some things where you're like, the camera doesn't even though this is clear, there would be some animal or, you know,
creature.
Magic, some creature, beast, that's clearly a CGI thing that took someone a long time to animate and build and all of this stuff. And the camera's like just going by it, and the creature never even gets into focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, this is another thing that's here. And I was like, oh man, that's really, and stuff like that, you don't think about it, but it's like, some people do, but it's like, that's one of those things that your brain just subconsciously registers is like, oh,
there are many more creatures here than I can even see.
Yeah. And there's all this stuff. And it just gives it this like verisimilitude that makes it feel a little more, even though it feels fantastic, mm-hmm. it feels a little more real. Also, it makes you accept it more. It's like, oh, this is not just crazy CGI, whatever. They're not just standing in a big green room. It makes you go like, oh, there's really just kind of an interesting world happening.
Yeah. The world feels believable.
Yeah. So when it was doing all that and you're seeing, and the Jacob, the baker guy, who's a normal person, and this is all, you're kind of seeing it through his eyes.
He's a nomad.
Yeah. So you're seeing it through his eyes where it's very, like, he's taking it all in, and he's, like, amazed and in awestruck wonder at all of the whimsy as well. And you're kind of feeling that same thing. And then it was doing that, and you're like, oh, this is great. And then it kept doing that. And kept doing that. I was like, I get it. There's a ton of magic stuff going on. All right. He's got a lot of animals in here, or a lot of creatures in here. And I was like, even though I want to know about these, it's like just that part was kind of going to the so long where I was like, I need some reality for a second. I need you to, yeah, I need some dialogue.
Some, like, character. I need
they really had to set up, though, just, like, the expanse of his knowledge of creatures, you know, because of his book. And
which is fine, but I was just, that was, and this is not, this movie was very well directed.
Yeah, but then he, like, walked in, like, holding one and, like, feeding it a bottle. There was a moment when I was like, okay, come on.
I was like, all right, yeah.
It looked like kind of like a Grindylow, but it was like glowing.
Yeah, it sure was. It totally looked like one of those. But
yeah, it was excessive. And I hear what you're saying about the whimsy in the movie. That there were moments.
I don't know. That scene wasn't that long. Like, it was like 5 minutes long.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. Also, and when I see that part, when I see this movie again, because I feel like I probably will eventually, because I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
That scene won't seem as long. Because I know that eventually it's going to end. But anytime you're in a scene that's like, when you're seeing something.
It was awkward.
When you're seeing something for the first time, if you're like me, I mean, I can't speak for it, but if you're like me and the split second, you're kind of like, your brain hits that point where it's going, when is this going to end? All of a sudden, time slows down and stretches out to an eternity to where
Chris
it's like,
is stretching his hands out for you.
Yeah. Everything kind of is like, is this scene ever going to end?
Then the end of that scene, is important because it sets up what the...
The whole thing's important.
The Obscurus. Obscurus or Obscurial.
No explanation for why sometimes it was called one thing and sometimes called the other.
Obscurus, Obscurial, same.
Is one like plural?
Good question. I don't know. But that is important for us to know for the rest of the movie.
Yes.
Which we'll get to.
Yeah, which is fine.
And is also a connection, by the way, to the original series.
Okay. Well, I'll ask about that in a second then.
Okay.
But yeah, it's just that thing where I was going, like, if they had, like, popped in on just for, let the two of them have, like, chat about something for just a second and then continued on into that.
Yeah, like, or, welcome to this room. Welcome to the next room.
If he was like,
blah, 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 blah.
Just something to kind of, like,
take. He does tell him, he's like, go feed them some of those.
Which was great. The part where it started getting, where the, Sam, you don't, I promise I'm not, like, I'm not attacking it.
No, I know, I'm sorry.
I'm just like, and I feel like very much like, also the fact that Ben and I are like on either side of you. Like, I feel like you feel a little bit attacked, like, here, which is not the case. You don't have to defend it.
I'm not, it's fine.
It's the story that seems sound, but maybe the movie just was a little bit like
didn't
do justice to it in the right way or something.
I don't know, it wasn't a book. It's not like the old ones where I'm like, me tell you how it's different. There was no book. No.
So that's a big deal.
Oh, see, Ben's face is like, I'm so confused. No, this movie wasn't even based on a book.
Then what was it based on?
She just wrote it.
Yeah, JK just knocked it out as a movie.
And this is the first
she wrote the script. As a script, not as a book.
And this is the first movie that she's actually written, right?
Right. She did not write the screenplays for the other movies.
Yeah, even though she wrote the books. Well, and I was thinking while we were watching it, I was like, I didn't know that she wrote it until it came up at the end that she wrote. I was like, oh, well, she should keep writing these movies.
Yeah, she's going to.
It's like, this seems like a good way to go instead of writing, you know, having to do a whole thing.
Why I think I like it so much more than The Cursed Child, because her name is on The Cursed Child, but she, like, co-wrote it with two other dudes who clearly wrote it. And she had nothing to do with it because it's terrible. So.
All right, everybody, you know what that means. Sound means it's time for the end of this episode. And hopefully you enjoyed listening to Sam and Ben and I talk about Fantastic Beasts and where to find them and just Harry Potter in general and all the other stuff we talked about that. And there'll be a bunch more of that very soon because we recorded a really long episode and just as luck would have it, broke up right there perfectly. The next episode will be even longer, though, I think. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving, whatever it is you're doing when you're listening to this. Thank you so much for listening, though. Thank you to everybody that has contributed to the Patreon, supported the Patreon, backed the Patreon, whatever it is you want to say. I couldn't appreciate it anymore. Super duper cool of you guys, all of you. Some of you I thanked on the other episode, or the last episode, I think. Maybe not the last episode, maybe the one before that. Look, not at all important. But the important thing is, thank you guys so much. Got some cool stuff coming up with that, going out to the people who are getting mail in the mail, the very, very actual real mail, which I hope you like. I don't know if there's anything else I needed to say other than, there is something I needed to say. I needed to say that we are dangerously close to hitting our next goal on the Patreon. We're just like a few dollars away. That's exciting, but that goal is the one where if we hit that goal, then I will record a full feature-length commentary for Mortal Kombat Annihilation that you can listen to along with the movie on Netflix, or if you have your own copy of the DVD or Blu-ray or VHS, which I have all of those. Maybe you need to borrow a copy of mine since I have so many of it now. If we hit that next goal, we'll record one of those, and probably will be with a special guest. But if you don't know what me recording a commentary is like for some bad movie, Patreon backers are going to get an example of one. And some of you may have already heard it, but some of you maybe have not. But if you want to check that out, go to patreon.com/thechrishaley and you can check out the stuff that's going on there. Even as little as a dollar will let you know about, get you into all the goodies, get you early stuff, get you this preview commentary I'm talking about that you can check out. What else? I think that's about it. That's probably good for now. Hope you all are doing very well. Follow the show at KICTM Podcast on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at TheChrisHaley. Almost forgot for a second. If you've got an email for the show, anything you want to say to us, anything you think that readers might like to hear, or anything you just want to share with me, you can send it to keepitclosetomepodcast@gmail.com. And I'll see you guys next time. I think that seems like enough of a kind of closing thing to let you guys know. You probably already know all the stuff, but maybe it's your first episode. Maybe you are just really looking forward to hearing about the Wizarding World. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you come back for the next one. And for all of you kind folks that are here all the time, I'll just say, I'll leave you with this. Yes, let's all drink, shall we?
Drinking.
Here we go.
Hooray.
Successful movie and podcast.
Let me get this Joker out of the way.
Cheers. If I drink during the podcast, will people hear it?
Yeah, probably. But it's okay. I mean, it's not like...
We're human. It's fine.
We need to. Yeah, I mean, and it's not like... You're not like... you know, yeah. It's, as long as it's not like...
You should, like, sample that and just loop it over itself, like, it's on, like, the whole time.
Yeah, just the entire time just sounds like a slurping.
Sounds like we're in ice.